Welcome back to another episode of MP Access. My name is Ekaterina, and today we're here at the LegalLeak Servicer Summit, and I'm joined by Amanda, and I'm sorry in advance, I will probably mispronounce your last name.
It's fine.
Kunz?
That's correct.
Is that German?
It is my husband's last name, so I have no idea.
Okay. Okay, because it does sound very German to me.
I am
originally from a different country, so I'm always interested to hear American, like, descent stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, so let's get into your background. You work for Carrington Mortgage.
Correct, yeah.
Tell me about your role and what you do.
Yeah, so I am the manager of property preservation for Carrington Mortgage. I currently oversee everything as far as default servicing. So I start from the point where the property goes in default until it basically conveys or goes REO or transfers off. Handling things such as property inspections, maintenance, winterizations, grass cuts, anything compliance related, QC related, vendor management. We work with vendors, investor insurer guidelines, everything like that.
So you save properties from problems.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How did you originally got into this industry? What drew you into this space?
So I like to say that nobody gets into prop pres because they want to. I think people just kind of fall into it. So for me, I got into the mortgage industry by accident, really. I started in collections, and really I learned all about servicing just from learning how borrowers interacted with the servicing side, how they defaulted, how all of that worked. I tried to save people's homes. And then from there, I moved on into REO asset management. And I went the complete 180 side of that, from trying to keep people in their homes to trying to sell the homes and kind of recoup as much money as we could back. And that really drew me more into the preservation side of it, because from there you could really see how, if a property wasn't maintained, how quickly the value could be lost in the property. And so I've been in property preservation for the last 15 years, and it's fast paced. Nothing is ever the same. No two properties are the same. And it's like every day is completely different. You're never going to see the same thing every day. So I like the challenge of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So as someone who lives and breathes property preservation, can you explain to me why is it so important?
Yeah, so property preservation is critical because we basically make sure that properties stay safe, secure, and really in guidelines with neighborhood compliance and things like that too. So we're the ones that make sure that neighborhoods look nice and that assets are protected. And so really we're the first line of defense and protection and everything like that on the properties.
Mm-hmm. Do you deal with a lot of criminals?
Yes. So
can you tell me a story, please? Like the craziest story.
We've heard some things and seen some things. Our vendors have, you've seen some things in prop press. There's squatters are a big issue, especially in like highly metropolitan areas. You know, like if a property becomes vacant, usually they're the first ones to know about it. So they're going to find it before even the mortgage companies do. And then they're going to move in, and it becomes a whole issue of trying to get that person out so that we can get it secure and take it back and make sure it's, you know, maintained and ready to go. But yeah, it's an event.
How do you personally as a professional deal with situations like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things you have to do. Of course, you have to work with local law enforcement and things like that. So that's kind of the first step. You never, the vendors have to take a step back. Like if you ever come across a situation like that, our vendors have to pull out of it and they're like, okay, we have to contact local law enforcement. And then that's kind of where we step back and it gets handled by somebody else. But it's a unique circumstance, but it's not something that's never happened.
Mm-hmm. My mom and I used to flip houses, and I know I say this in every single episode, but we were constantly bugged by our neighborhood to cut the grass all the time to make sure it's like, you know, the specific length and specific color, and everything has to be specific. Is that what you guys do as well?
Yeah. So neighborhood compliance is a big part of what we do. We also have to stay in compliance with investor and insurer regulations like HUD and Fannie Mae and all of that kind of stuff. So we keep our properties on a regular reoccurring schedule. But yeah, you've got some local HOAs that have like some crazy rules where the grass can't be more than 6 inches tall. And if it's in a property area like that, we have to cut the grass more frequently. Or if they've got weird rules like your sidewalks have to, you know, be purple or something. I made that up, but you know, we would have to do that. Like there are weird compliance rules that we always have to follow. So yeah, it's very much making sure you understand everyone's guidelines and staying in compliance with them.
What happens if the person refuses to follow those rules and he's just saying, this is my house, I do what I want. Like don't
the homeowner?
Tell me what to do.
Yeah. So, if the homeowner doesn't do what they're supposed to do and they don't cut the grass or they get violations on the property, then they could be assessed fines or fees by the city, which typically are assessed to the property, not necessarily to the borrower. So those would stay usually with the property. So that is something that would eventually come to us and we'd have to take care of. So then we have to go back to the city and say, hey, we just got this property because now the borrower is no longer in the picture. Can we work out something to get it addressed? What can we do with these fines or fees? And that's where really having a good relationship with cities and local municipalities is important, because then it's more of a partnership instead of like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
When you've got good relationships, they're more willing to work with you.
Mm-hmm. So how many times a homeowner can break those rules before he loses his house, his property completely?
I mean, in some states, you see things like receiverships be issued. So in like Massachusetts and Maryland and things like that, they're more prone to issue a receivership. And what that is the city will come in and they'll appoint somebody to go out and actually do the work on the property. They could potentially take the home away from us and the borrower and say, okay, now I own this property. So there is a risk of that. Is there a flat, like you do it 7 or 8 times and it's theirs? No, not necessarily, but, there's lots of legalities that go along with it, and every city and municipality is different. So it's not standard.
Mm-hmm. So are there any like operational challenges property preservation teams are facing today?
Yeah, I'd say, from an industry standpoint, we are seeing, two big challenges. Mainly, there's volume swings that impact from the vendor side. It is capacity and turn time. So we're seeing like you might not have vendor coverage in rural areas. So like areas like Alaska, or sometimes even in rural areas in like South Texas, mm-hmm. or like out in Maine or Massachusetts or places mm-hmm. like that. And that causes things like inspections and maintenance to take longer. And sometimes we can't get things done at all because we don't have vendors in that area. So that's a challenge. And then in addition to that, just like everything else, the rising cost is a challenge across the industry. We have a set cost that's allotted to us. It's called allowables from our investors and insurers. And so with all of the costs, our vendors are having a hard time getting work completed within those allowables. And so those are probably the two main challenges that we face.
Mm-hmm. What is something about your job that people would never expect?
I mean, I think that people think prop pres is a lot of like cleaning toilets and cutting grass. And there's a lot more that goes into it. It's really about bringing the community back as a whole, right? So like what we're trying to do is keep the property safe, keep it secure, make it more presentable, and then holistically get everybody back to where it's up to standard and everything is good.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest risks servicers face if property preservation process are not handled correctly?
Yeah, so I would say some of the biggest risks are going to be property damages. So if we don't get into the properties early on, let's say we don't get in early and there's a roof leak. If you don't catch it, it's going to continue to get worse. And that little leak is going to turn into a major problem. Then you're going to have mold in the house, which is going to cause hundreds or thousands of dollars worth of damages. So major problems can happen if you don't catch damages early.
Mm-hmm.
So
So besides catching damages early on, what's the biggest mistake people make with property maintenance?
Probably the biggest mistake you can make when it comes to property maintenance is like not fully completing the work. So like getting a job partially completed and thinking that you're fully done, such as maybe partially completing a mold repair, or partially addressing an issue in a basement or something like that, that would cause a damage to return or come back and further worsen the condition. That's probably the most common mistake that we would see that could cause more damage.
Is that a shade to flippers and investors?
Well, it could be, because I mean, I think in general, people have seen flippers and investors, speaking holistically, sometimes do some cut corner work to get things done cheaper. So yeah, I mean, maybe.
What about AI? How has technology, you know, now everybody on our podcast is talking about that AI to some people is a good thing, to some people it's a bad thing. How do you feel about AI evolving the property preservation space?
Yeah, so I think AI is important in prop pres because we're seeing it a lot, especially in like our mobile devices that our vendors are using for their inspections. So now vendors can go out to properties and they can snap photos and submit their results on site. They can submit bids from their photos on site. They have things like instant photo tagging and geolocations and things like that. And that's been super helpful to get results in really quickly. So that's probably been a big thing for us.
And what are some best practices servicing organizations should adopt when working on with preservation vendors?
So I think best practice wise, the big thing is communication, just making sure everybody's on the same page. You want to make sure that your expectations are clear, that everybody understands like what the scope of work is, what the requirements are, what all the guidelines are, that you've got really strong QC standards, a good open feedback loop. So that way, if anyone has a question or anything, they know exactly who to come to, who their point of contact is. And just quick response times on both sides so that way you can get questions answered quickly.
Okay. So just out of my own personal curiosity, do you have a favorite client to work with? Going back to my question about, you know, flippers and investors, maybe you kind of like, you know, if it's a flipper, he's going to, you know, do like a terrible job in a house just to get it sold as soon as possible. Same as investor versus like a family who is buying their first house together.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that I have a preference overall. I mean, I think everybody is unique to their own situation. So for us, we're happy to help everyone in any situation that they have, whether that be someone who's investing, flipping, first-time home buyer. So whatever fits their needs is what we would like to have.
Mm-hmm. And how do you collaborate with other workers in your industry? Because between servicers, vendors, and local authorities, you guys work together on one goal. So how do you collaborate with people?
Yeah, it's kind of like working with the vendors, right? Like communication is important. You have to make sure the servicer is on the same page with the vendor and that the vendor is on the same page with the city. It is oftentimes hard to get cities to always be responsive because they've got their vendors out in the field. So their inspectors that you need to clarify what you need to get done for them are usually the guys that are the boots on the ground out in the field. So, communication is key. Responsiveness is key. Making sure you're acting quickly and getting in contact with them fast. And just flexibility, being able to meet them on their time. Making sure your vendors are flexible and can get out there when they need to. And then just, again, making sure everybody understands what all the expectations are.
Mm-hmm. What is the best and worst part about your job?
The best part is just really making sure that at the end of the day, we're doing the best thing we can for our borrowers and the communities and the servicers and getting everything safe, secure, sold. We're protecting our assets. We're protecting the communities. Like, at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. The worst thing is It's probably just seeing some of the gross conditions that we see sometimes in the properties. They can be pretty gross on the inside sometimes.
So what is the grossest house you have seen? Please tell me a story.
I mean, we've seen some pretty bad ones. We've seen some hoarder homes where you can't even open the front door and go inside. Those are usually the pretty bad ones where there's the trash that's piled up all the way to the ceilings and things like that. But, you know, it's like 1 in 100 one in 1,000 you'd see like that. It's not often, but yeah, you see some like that every once in a while.
But when you go in a house that is in such a terrible condition, do you take like police with you or you just go there alone?
So, I mean, that is a risk that our vendors take. And I mean, it's something that they, you know, it's a risk of their job. They typically do go in these homes by themselves without any police officers or anything like that. If it is in an area where it does seem unsafe, they do have the option to obviously contact the police to go in with them. But yeah, they usually go in by themselves.
But that's so dangerous. You need to have like a pepper spray or something with you at the very least.
Yeah, it can be.
How do you protect yourself if you go alone in a house like that?
It can be kind of a dangerous role for them, for sure.
So looking ahead, what trends do you think will shape property preservation and servicing operations over the next few years?
Yeah, so I think we're going to continue to see the trend with the increase in costs, unfortunately. That's a negative trend, but I think that is something we're going to continue to see. I think we're still going to continue to see the trend with capacity issues with the vendors. On the flip side of that, I think you're going to start seeing more automation of things with maybe QC processes and inspection results and things like that. So I think that's going to be helpful. And I think from the city side, you're going to start seeing more focus on potentially like curb appeal and presentation of the neighborhoods. They're really starting to focus a little bit more on that.
Mm-hmm. And what should mortgage servicers be preparing for now as the market continues to evolve?
I think the main thing is that we need to prepare to be flexible. Nothing is the same. Everything's changing, so we have to be prepared to change as things continue to change. We need to make sure we have strong vendor and community relationships. And we need to make sure we've got strong workflow processes.
Mm-hmm. And we are here today, as I started this episode, at the Legal Lick Spring Servicer Summit. How are you enjoying the event so far?
It's been great so far. I've enjoyed it.
What's been your favorite part?
Let's see. I enjoyed, so Nolan from Carrington was here, and I enjoyed listening to him speak earlier. So
lots of great networking opportunities.
Yes.
Also,
yeah.
We have a happy hour and a reception coming up here soon. Oh, also,
I enjoy that.
So make sure you stay for that, for some snacks and drinks.
Yeah.
And just looking ahead for maybe other people who are just starting their career in property preservation, what advice would you give them?
I mean, I would say with Prop Prez, it's always an adventure. So never a dull moment. You got to stick with it and be flexible. Be prepared to solve problems. It's always about problem solving. How do you see a problem? How can we fix it? What can we do to make it better? Like that's the main thing.
Very well said. Thank you so much,
yeah,
Amanda, for
me.
Your time and for joining us on our spring servicer summit this year. We hope you'll come back again next year.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to MP Access. Stay up to date with daily mortgage news, featured stories, and our latest episodes of the podcast at themortgagepoint.com. Don't miss out, and we'll see you next week.